Yes.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So glad you've come to worship with us today. Looks like the threat of snow and ice kept a few folks away, but hope we've had our token snow of the year and it's over. I know you, many of you may like it. I like being able to go where we need to go when we need to go. We're so glad you came today. You know our pastor's in Cuba. Let me just share a few words about Cuba. We've been praying and giving towards getting a set of tires to Cuba, which is very hard to get in, and also a lot of medical supplies. All of that got through with no problem in customs. So they were able to deliver everything that you prayed about and gave and to help produce. And they're having a great time. Yesterday, they got to visit a couple of churches and leave some gifts with a couple of pastors to encourage them. They had an opportunity to go to a youth service and worship service and enjoyed that. And so far, they haven't dug any holes yet. So you keep praying for them this week. A couple of guys are going for their first time this year, and they're getting the excitement of seeing Cuba for the first time. So pray for each one of them. This morning, because our pastor's gone, we have the privilege of having Reverend Michael Barrett with us. Michael's been with us many times. He is the mission strategist for the Piedmont Baptist Association and a very busy man, so we're lucky to be able to have him with us. And we're glad he's here today. He'll be bringing the message. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we begin our music service. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of being in your house. Lord, we love you. We know you love us. And we are looking so forward to having this time of worship together. Father, help us to put everything out of our minds that would hinder our worship. Just focus our attention on you. We give you praise and honor and glory for all that's accomplished through it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, David. Good morning. Please turn with me to hymn number 62, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, and please stand with me as we sing.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Please turn with me to hymn number 337, and literally, please pick up your hymnals because it's not on the screen today. We had a thing there. So 337, I Know Whom I Have Believed. Was church was going to go when I woke up this morning. I'm from Pleasant Garden, and so our ground literally was covered, and the house was covered. I just was with a thin layer, and it was coming down. So I said, I don't know what's going to happen today, but they said it's soon going to be gone. And I said, praise the Lord. So I made my way over to Greensboro, and there wasn't much here. I went to Cornerstone Baptist Church. Their new pastor started today, this morning. And so they had a 9 o'clock service. So I was able to join them and welcome the new pastor there, Josh. And so glad, again, he's coming from Alabama, I believe, to our way, or Montgomery. And so we're excited about their new beginnings, and you pray for them. Take your Bibles, if you would, Hebrews chapter 9. While you're turning there, I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 12, Hebrews chapter 9. We have six churches that have, again, mission trips going on right now. So we're in Pakistan, we're in Puerto Rico, we're in Romania, we're in Cuba. We have several churches that are on mission right now. So you be praying again for your pastor who's on a missionary trip there to Cuba. And you be praying for these other trips again. In Pakistan, they will have a crusade with about 20,000 people attending that. And so they've been having two harvest seasons every year. One of our pastors from our language churches goes and preaches, and they have hundreds of people that come to faith every time they do a crusade. And so you pray that they'll be protected, be able to have that, and many people will come to faith. You're a part of that because you're a part of the Piedmont Baptist Association. You do know we have 23 language churches that are part of our association. And out of those 23 churches, we're getting ready to have a special retreat for them to train them about their ministry and mission here, again, right around Greensboro High Point, to reach people for Christ. And so you be praying for that. That comes up the last day of March, first
first day of April. We're booked, and so we're going to be down at Caraway. And so you pray for those pastors to be encouraged and blessed and helped. We're giving their families a free night there to stay with us. Then we're feeding them, and then we're training them. The convention is helping us do that. But you're making that possible because you're part of the Piedmont Baptist Association. This coming Thursday, we have about 40 people already signed up. Your pastor would be there, but he's in Cuba for Church Planning Lab. And so, again, we planted 10 new churches last year. And so we're praying again about planting churches and how we can do that, again, to reach, again, all the peoples. There are 400,000 people in Guilford County that doesn't have a faith relationship with Christ. And so we have a great mission task before us. Amen? We have a great mission task before us that we need to make sure that we're a part of and that we're doing all we can to advance the gospel and the kingdom and the glory of God to all, again, the people around us, as well as, again, all across North America, as we honor Annie Armstrong with our gifts, and again to the ends of the earth, again, for the sake of the gospel message. Well, I want to give you a simple message today, three simple points. God lives, God loves, and God lasts. But I want to add another point to that I was thinking about coming over this morning. God longs. God longs for you to be intimate with Him. God longs for you to pray and communicate in fellowship and be one with Him. God longs for you to abide in Him. So I'm going to take you again to the tabernacle as we read in this chapter, and we're going to see the ingredients again in the Holy of Holies, again, of what they say to us about those four simple points in our time together. But I want to begin by somebody's praying, Lord, come by here. 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 Oh, Lord, come by here. Lord, that is our prayer today. Somebody's praying right now for your visitation among us. Lord, for a fresh encounter, a fresh touch from heaven upon our hearts, our minds, our lives, this church, Central Baptist Church. And Lord, I pray for a fresh touch of your peace that goes beyond understanding, a fresh touch of your power that we live victorious, a fresh touch of your grace, as your word says that you're sufficient for everything that we need. And Lord, a fresh touch of your forgiveness to erase every sin and cover every sin and cleanse every sin in our lives. A fresh touch of your love that we live loved every moment that we respond in worship and praise and surrender to your great love. And Lord, a fresh touch of hope for the brokenness and great need of this world. In our brokenness, God, would you give healing? In the lostness of this world, would you bring salvation? God, in the weakness, would you give us strength? Meet each of us afresh, right here, right now, in this place today is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. We celebrate every life that's ever been redeemed through the ministry of Central Baptist Church. Amen. We praise God for every touch of His love and grace upon each of our lives as He's provided for us every single day of our journey. And we thank Him again for the mission heart that is a part of, again, your DNA at Central Baptist Church. But I want to remind you, we can't just celebrate and rejoice in the past. We've got to look to the moment and to the future. And as we look to the future, we've got to make sure that we understand God's word of calling to you and me. And that is found in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, as God's word says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow God's going to do great wonders among you. Now, what I'm afraid of, listen carefully, we want to do the great wonders. We want to do the great things, but we're not able to do that. God has to do that. What we have to do is make ourselves available, right? Surrender our hearts afresh and anew to Him. Everything that we are, we make available to Him for His glory again to fall afresh on the world all around us. So let's begin reading our scripture. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared. The first part, in which was a lampstand, the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant, and above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we can now not speak in detail. Now, when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of reformation. But Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Now, Israel, again, was getting ready, again, to journey. They're coming out of Egypt, and they're headed toward the promised land when you back up into the Old Testament story. And as they're headed there, again, they are in the wilderness for 40 years, a long time. And so God speaks to them and to Moses and tells them to prepare a place of his dwelling among them, which is called the tabernacle. And the tabernacle represented the presence of God, and God would fill that place. And so everywhere the tabernacle was the presence of God among his people. And inside of that was an opportunity for them to come and experience the presence of God and worship and draw near to him. But there was a special place in that tabernacle called the Holy of Holies. And again, no one could enter that except for the high priest. He would enter it for one time a year, one day, to make atonement, again, representing the sins of all the people for that year. And so the scripture says as he goes in, he can't go in without blood. He must go in with blood to make that sacrifice, to pour that on the mercy seat. So what I want to do is just identify the things that are present in, again, the Holy of Holies and share with you what they say to you today, again, in your life of faith, in your journey of faith as you go about. And so inside that ark are the contents. First of all, you notice the scripture says there's Aaron's rod, which budded and gave fruit. You remember the story in scripture where, again, Moses, again, was saying, I can't go before the Pharaoh. And God said, what's in your hand? And he said, well, it's a rod. He said, throw it down. And what happened to it? It became a serpent. Well, again, the Pharaoh again said, well, hey, that's nothing new. Again, all my magicians and special people can do the same. And so, again, with their magic, they created snakes. But what happened with Aaron's snake? It ate up all the other snakes to show that, again, his snake and his rod was prominence, again, of all the other magicians and those present. Now, what you have is you have Aaron's rod present here, and again, it budded and gave fruit. And it says to me, God lives. God lives. God is alive. You see, God's not made of stone. God's not made of wood. God's not far away. God is always present and always active, always doing miracles, always providing a way. God is active in the life of His creation. Now, everyone needs to know what God can do and what God does do. Amen? Everyone knows that, needs to know that. And as you read the scripture is a chronicles what God has done over time, of His activity, of His presence, that He is alive, that He is among His people. He's providing for His people. He's guiding His people. He's making sure that their needs are taken care of. And this is what I learned. Your life and my life should give testimony to the greatness and great things of God. Because He is active in your life. He is active in my life. And because of that, we should give testimony to the people around us of the greatness of God and the great things that God is doing. And so if He's given peace to you, you can, again, draw a dove. If He's put joy in your heart, you can sing a song. As I look through Scripture and see, as I see a gallery, again, of paintings, of portraits, of the activity and the great things that God has done, is doing, will do to the glory of God. There's Jonah, and there's that life-size fish that swallows him up. There's Moses and the painting of that burning bush. There's David, who's got that slingshot to overcome Goliath. There's Gideon, who's praying and throws out a fleece to say, God, you've got to tell me, am I going in the right direction or not? There's Abraham, and he paints the night of 1,000 stars. There's Zacchaeus. Where is he at? He's sitting up in a tree. And then there's that young boy that has a sack lunch that's going to feed about 20,000 people. And then there's Martha, and she welcomes you into her kitchen as she's preparing a dinner meal for Jesus that day. And there's the centurion, and he invites you to touch the cross that Jesus died on as he beheld that, experienced that, and said he truly is the Son of God, able to take away sin. You see, all through Scripture, there's paintings, there's a gallery of God's greatness, of God's activity. But not just in Scripture, there's Martin Luther and the book of Romans as he would paint it. There's Susanna Wesley, and she would be on her face praying again for her sons. There's John Newton, and he's singing the song, Amazing Grace. And the story goes on and on and on of God's activity in the life of His people. I was talking to a lady yesterday. And I said, I heard you had a great conversation with someone this week. And she said, it was the most amazing thing I've ever experienced. She said, again, our pastor got a call from somebody he knew, and she was in desperate straits. And so he calls this lady who's one of our counselors there in the ministry of what is called the Oaks and the Pleasant Garden area. And so she gives her a call, and on the phone, she leads her to faith in Jesus. And she gives her heart to Christ. Even in a phone conversation. And a whole world is turned upside down of grace and forgiveness and new beginning and new life. Because what God does, God lives and is active rescuing and redeeming the world unto Himself. But as you look through that gallery, sitting high above all the other paintings is a boulder. It's heavy, it's round. It was used to seal the opening of a tomb. But in that portrait, that tomb is empty. That stone is rolled to the side. You know why? Because stones were never a match for God. Just ask Mary. Just ask Peter. Just ask Lazarus. Again, those stones have never been a match for God. You see, we're to look forward with faith. The God who spoke still speaks. The God who forgave still forgives. The God who cares still cares. The God who saved still saves. He came to do what you can't do, what I can't do. He moves whatever stands in our way, and He moves to make a way. In your behalf, for your salvation, for your kingdom purpose, again, for all God has for you to do, to show He is a great God and the great things that He does. I love that song, He's a Waymaker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. Can I tell you? First of all, God lives. And He wants to rule and reign in my heart and in your heart. But there's a second item that's present in that Holy of Holies. It's called the mercy seat. And the mercy seat represents the blood that is going to be poured upon it as God is going to show mercy upon the children of Israel and again forgive their sins. And as we read the scripture, you're aware that it said that that action wouldn't make that possible, but that action was pointing toward the cross that would make that possible. Amen? Because on the shedding of blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he made possible again for all of our sins to be forgiven. And so as I look at the mercy seat, this is what it says to me: God loves. God is offering mercy and forgiveness and peace and joy and life eternal. God loves. Now, when he came into this world, they laughed at him. You're aware, right? They mocked him. They hurled insults. They despised him. They rejected him. They said he's mad. He's demon-possessed. Listen to what scripture says. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world didn't even recognize him. And the world didn't even receive him. And the question is, why didn't he give up even in the very beginning? If you really want to know that story, just read a story about Lee Epley. He was a retired firefighter for New York City. He gave 26 years of his life in ministry, in service, again, to the people of New York City as a firefighter. But on September 11, 2001, he gave much more than that. He gave his son. His son's name was Jonathan, who was following in his dad's footsteps, who also became a firefighter. And Jonathan ran into those twin towers to help rescue the people, again, as that plane had flown into the side of it. And again, he was in it when it collapsed and crumbled. And it became a 16-acre. Can't imagine the picture of that, of just rubble and concrete and people underneath it. Firefighters are a loyal clan. When one perishes in the line of duty, that firefighter is left in place until a firefighter who knows that person comes and takes that body out. They are a loyal clan. 3 months of digging to the day, December 11th of that same year, they would discover Jonathan's body. And who was there? Who had been digging for those 3 months? His dad. And his dad was there to carry his son out once they found him, in honor and recognition of the life lived, of the life given, in protection as a firefighter to the people. And you asked him, how in the world, Lee, could you do that? And his response, again, would simply be, his love for his son was greater than the pain of the search. You ask Jesus why he would leave heaven's glory and come to this earth, again, in the muck and sin and darkness, to be despised, rejected, crucified. And he would tell you, his love for you was greater than the pain of the journey. You see, he came because you and I were dead in our sins. That's why he cares. That's why he died. Listen to what scripture says. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Drink that for a moment. Let me say that again. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's the love of God. That again is being poured out on your life and my life every single day. Any of you sold a house lately? Nobody sold a house. Somebody sold a house. Anybody, bought a house lately? Maybe? So the process is, if you're building a house and you're getting ready to close on it, there's a walkthrough, right? And you do a checklist to make sure everything's, again, in order and everything's working, right? You with me? If you're selling a house, there's an inspection that takes place. And that inspector that comes in writes a list of everything that needs to be corrected and done. Yeah. Well, as I think of that, I think of my own life. I think of your life. And I think of, again, the things that might not be working in the house that I'm selling or buying, but I think of the things in my life that need a whole lot of attention and touch up according to God's Word and God's Spirit. The door hinge to my prayer room kind of creaking and not as opening as frequently as it ought to. Yeah. You know, Jesus tells us in the scriptures that on Calvary, your sins were made public. You don't believe that? Read Colossians 2:14. It says he canceled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by doing what? Nailing it to Christ's cross. So all of your sins that day was nailed on Calvary. All the lust, all the greed, all the lies, all the prodigal moments, the list of all your sins were nailed there. And listen to what the scripture says. He has forgiven all your sins. He has utterly wiped out the written evidence of broken commandments, which always hung over our heads, and completely annulled it by nailing it to the cross. And you know what he says? I did every bit of that just for you. That's my love. That's my compassion. That's my care. John 3:16, would you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How wide is God's love? It's enough for the whole world. Are you included in the world?
Yes.
Yes, you are. That means you're included in God's love. Others may exclude you, but God includes you through his Son. And he stretched one hand to the right and the other to the left. And again, he said, so that you would know that he died loving you. Yes. And so you ask the question, isn't there a limit to the love of God? Ask David the adulterer. Ask Paul the murderer. Ask Peter the liar. And you know what they would tell you? When it came to life, they hit rock bottom. And they did. But when it came to the love of God, they never hit the bottom. Because deeper still is the precious love of God, regardless of what you've done in life. Listen to what it says over in 1 Corinthians. God's love never fails. You hear that? Well, if you look at different translations of that passage of Scripture, this is what you'll read. Love lasts forever. Love never dies. Love never ends. Love is eternal. Love never comes to an end. Love never fails. Amen? It is uncaused. It is spontaneous from God. It's not because of my goodness, my kindness, or my great faith. It's all because of him. His goodness, his kindness, his great faith. God loves. Praise the Lord for that. But also there's a golden censer that's in the tabernacle. And that represents for me, God longs for prayers of his people. God longs for you to abide in him and talk to him and share your concerns. All that happens in the kingdom of God today is founded on the prayer life of God's people. God moves and works in relation to the prayers of his people. And so you and I must pray and pray and pray. I told you earlier, we have 23 language churches. Two of those churches are our Korean churches from Korea. Did you know every morning of every week they get up at 5 o'clock? Every morning they get up at 5 o'clock. And what are they doing? They're praying. Literally for 2 hours, they just pray. There's a group of pastors that have just in the process of coming to the United States, and several of them are coming to North Carolina, nearby, down toward Asheboro. And they're passing through, and all they're doing is going to the churches and spending 4 or 5 hours in each church just praying, dividing up in twos and praying because they believe God answers prayer. Oh, that we would believe that again, amen? That God does answer prayer and that we would be on our face. Praise the Lord. There's a stirring that is all of a sudden moving now across our land. It began in Asbury College where, again, 20,000 people stood in line, some of them for 7 hours just to get in to experience a freshness from God. Oh, that we would experience that. One preacher friend of mine drove several hours to get there, went in. And in the process, he says, I waited 3 hours to get in, finally got in. I sit there, they were singing some songs, and all of a sudden there was just a wave of the Spirit of God that just settled on me. And I began confessing every sin that I'd never confessed before. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it just kind of moved away. And then in a few minutes again, it come right back. It just settled on me. And just renewed my spirit, my heart, my life. And I was seeing that all over. And before you know it, I'd been in there 5 hours. Just simply in the presence of God, praying and repenting and asking God to move fresh on my life. Oh, that you and I would experience that. Just an outpouring of God upon our heart, afresh and anew, because God longs for us to be in His presence, in His fellowship, and to hear and to call and experience God's great grace in our life. The last thing I want to tell you is, again, there are two other things that are present in the Holy of Holies. It says it's a golden pot that had the manna, and then it was the tablets of the covenant, the commandments. Those two things tell me that God lasts. How did the Israelites eat while they were journeying in the wilderness? Manna. Manna. Every day, manna. And as long as there was need of food, there was every day manna. I call it manna pudding, manna bread. Man, I can come up with all kinds of names, right? Amen? You ain't got tired of eating the same thing every day? You and I do, do we not? Hello? But they had it for 40 years, and they never ran out. There was always enough, always enough, because God lasts. And this golden pot of manna just reminds us that whatever the need is, God's grace will never run out. God's love will never run out. It is sufficient. It is enough. It lasts forever. But then he said, tablets. I love this. The tablets of truth, the tablets of the covenant, the commandments. Listen to what God's word says. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. 1 Peter 1:25. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God, wow. Did you hear that? Because God lasts. And I just want to remind you of all the promises in God's word that are yours, that just remind you of the faithfulness of God every single day. My favorite saying is, death is swallowed up in victory. I love that. Death is swallowed up. One day I'm going to be laid in a casket. And it's going to be a shell of who I am. But I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. Death, sin, and the grave, and I overcome. The scripture says His grace is sufficient for every single need in life. Rejoice, the scripture says. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But be glad, I have overcome the world. No more tears. No more death. I'm going to make all things new. I got to tell you, this morning, everything's not made new yet. We still live in a broken world, a dark world, and it's a great need. But one day, all things are going to be made new. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. And He restores myself. I am coming back to receive you to myself. I'm going to prepare a place, and if I'm gone, I'm coming again. Of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away, reserved in heaven, kept by the power of God, through faith, for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And then it says, Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who's able to do abundantly, exceedingly, above all you asked or think. Wow. Hallelujah for the Word of God that is living, that is living, that is the authority of our life as followers of Jesus. And it lasts forever and ever and ever. Let me just rehearse that in closing. God lives, and He wants to live in your heart. God loves. He gave everything, His precious Son, to redeem you. And He reveals that love in so many precious ways every single day. My prayer for the church I pastored for 31 years was, God, open our eyes to see the love of God every day. Because it is so precious, so special, so wonderful. God longs for that relationship and that prayer life. And God lasts forever and ever and ever. You can trust Him. You can depend on Him. He's more than enough for our journey of faith. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. God, You're so good, so gracious, so faithful. Even in our unfaithfulness, You're faithful. There's no wavering, God, with You in Your love or in Your truth. God, You are steadfast and sure. And Lord, my prayer is that I would be that. God, refresh my heart to these truths this morning. That You live. And God, may we see evidence of that everywhere. And may we share evidence in our own life of that truth of the great things You've done for us. Lord, I think of that song. It's no secret what You've done for me, You can do for others. God, let us tell that story of the gospel. And then, Lord, of Your great love. Lord, open our eyes to see that every day, because our worship is our response every moment of every day to Your great love. And then, Lord, put that longing in my soul that every day I awake, I run to You. And at the end of that day, I'm still running to You because I move and am and are in You, Father. That's what You tell us. And then, Lord, may I hold on to the promises of Your Word in the difficult times, when I don't understand circumstances, when the world is turned upside down, may I just be reminded through Your Word that You last and You're more than enough for all of us. Lord, I pray as we come to a time of decision that You'll call Central Baptist Church to prayer. Prayer for spiritual awakening across this land. Prayer of spiritual awakening in my own heart and life. God, that we would see the hand of God move like never before and just unbelievable turning of the church again to You and of the world to You. And may we see an outpouring, God, of revival and renewal and restoring and of glory being given to You rightly, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing our closing hymn? I'll be here to pray with you. The altar's open for you to pray as we come to a moment of response.
Pardon me, brother. I am thine, O Lord. Thank you.
just remind you, as I leave on May 7th, you'll put this on your calendar at 5 o'clock at Lawndale. We're going to have a night of praise and worship for senior adults. And so if you're in that age bracket, we'd love to welcome you. We're going to have a great night of worship and praise. We're going to sing the old songs, and we're just going to have a great time of some testimonies. I videoed a guy this past week who, again, is down from Harvest Baptist Church toward Burlington. And before COVID, he was visiting 300 people a week in the nursing home. Can you imagine that? He's 74 years of age. He's pouring out his life to glorify God. So you're going to hear some testimonies like that. I'm telling you, it's worth, again, the challenge of hearing that, because God's not through with you, right?
Amen.
Right? Amen. God's not through with you. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing with us. I'm going to ask you to be seated. We'll ask our ushers to come forward to receive our offering. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the message we've heard. And Lord, for the song we've just sung. Lord, we do need to draw near to you. We need to be drawn to you by your Holy Spirit. Father, we just thank you for the privilege we have of giving back to you a portion of that which you so richly blessed us. Father, I pray that you'll take this offering and use it that others might come to know Jesus and know him as Lord. And Lord, that you'll bless the giver and the gift. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. All right, we've got some birthdays. Well, a birthday this week. Phyllis Anders is having a birthday this week. Let me tell you how you can give Phyllis a gift. It won't cost you a dime. Okay? Pray for her this week. Okay? Same thing with our anniversaries. Angel and Fred Pinson and Ann and Roger Brooks both having anniversaries this week. Angel and Fred is Tuesday, and also Ann and Roger is Tuesday, and then Saturday, Kelly and Dan Wagner, wedding anniversaries. Pray for these folks. What a wonderful gift you can give to them. Realize we have a privilege of sharing with the lost world and even encouraging other Christians. When we celebrate an anniversary, It says, we're committed. We made a commitment a long time ago, and we're still there. So do that. It's a great testimony. All right, we've got some things going on today and some that are not, okay? Let me tell you the things that are not going to happen today. No D-Life meeting today. The pastor teaches that, and he's in Cuba, unless you want to get a quick plane down to Cuba and try to catch him up about 3:30 this afternoon. He'd be glad to teach you if you show up. No quartet practice today, but the quartet will be practicing in a week, but they've changed their date from Sunday afternoon to Monday afternoon, so they'll be practicing on the 21st. And no Awana today. Awana's not meeting today. And the CBC Wind Ensemble will not be practicing tonight. So those are the things that are not going to happen tonight. But the things that are going to happen today is there is a finance committee meeting immediately following this service over in the other building. So if you're on a finance committee, if you'll please get with Maury and go to the other building and have that meeting. And then choir rehearsal this afternoon at the regular time, 5 p.m. And then Bible study in here tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to be talking about the third day in the last week of the life of Jesus before his crucifixion. So we're talking about the third day tonight. If you want to come and talk about that, there's some great, great scripture in Mark 13th chapter. If you want to read that before you come, that'll be great. We'd love for you to come and be excited about studying the Bible with us. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of being in your house. God, we count it a privilege. Lord, when all America seems to be saying, no, I don't think I want to go to church today, God, we realize it's a privilege, and we praise your name for the opportunity we have. Father, we pray that you will take us and every church in this association and in this state and make us a witness, a powerful witness, that we might reach out to the community around us and share this love of Jesus that he has for us and that he has given us the ability to love him. Lord, help us to share that message, the good news of the gospel. As we go from this place, Lord, help us to be a witness. Keep us safe. Bring us back tonight to study your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.